This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this afternoon at TSN1290.ca, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of hockey talk for you on this Saturday afternoon, setting you up for the Winnipeg Jets Anaheim Ducks game that'll take place at MTS Center later on this evening, 6 p.m. puck drop here on TSN 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Follow us on Twitter at Legal Curve, Facebook.com/Legal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is illegalcurve.com. Joining us on the program this afternoon in about 1 hour's time in the Saturday spotlight, I sat down with former Winnipeg Jets head coach and general manager, currently the head coach of the Regina Pats in the Western Hockey League. John Paddock is going to join us on Saturday spotlight, and in the final hour of today's show, from the Buffalo News, Mike Harrington is going to join us, talk about the Sabres ahead of their visit to Winnipeg on Tuesday night. We're live at Boston Pizza City Place as part of Mr. Lube Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290. Let's get right into it, starting talking about tonight's Jets-Ducks game, the second meeting between these two teams in 6 days' time. Evander Kane returns to the Winnipeg Jets lineup, having served his two-game suspension for his hit on Clayton Stoner last Sunday. Michael Hutchinson getting the start in goal for the Jets as Paul Maurice continues with the goaltending rotation between Andre Pavlik and Michael Hutchinson. I say good afternoon to both Richard and Ezra. Gentlemen, how are you both?
Yeah, doing good. It's almost a situation where you have a former 30-goal scorer, and it's almost, in a way, a situation where you're almost disrupting the lineup with Evander Kane. You obviously want Evander Kane in the lineup. He's one of your top players. But this game the last game was in the afternoon. Tonight is not going to be short of fireworks, guys. You have Evander Kane going up against Clayton Stoner again, and you don't want to say that something is going to go down, but you got to think that Clayton Stoner is going to be looking out every time number 9 is on the ice, if he's on the ice. But hey, the Jets are still, have some injuries on the back end there. But with Kane coming back and 3 out of a 4 point road trip, it was pretty good. And again, you're going to see a team right now. You know, I watched the game last night between the Ducks and the Oilers, and it looked like the Ducks were saving up some energy. The Oilers are just a complete mess, and it's going to be another tough test for the Jets. But they know that they can skate with the Ducks. They went to overtime last Sunday, so it's going to be another good game.
Yeah, exactly right. The Ducks, having played last night in Edmonton, they certainly weren't stressed, I would say, by playing the Oilers. But it is a second half of a back-to-back. They come into Winnipeg, they lose an hour in that they probably get into Winnipeg about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. So it is a quick turnaround for the Anaheim Ducks, and that's something you'd hope the Jets would try and take advantage of, get an early start into this game, and maybe, until the Ducks get their sea legs underneath them, having played last night.
That's true, Drew. I do think, though, that you can also have the Hockey Night in Canada factor, and the fact that this game is on in Canada and the Canadian players on the team don't get the Anaheim Ducks don't get a ton of opportunities to play national games.
Sure.
So I think that is always a motivating factor for players as well. For a guy like Ryan Getzlaff from Saskatchewan, it's one of those things, and he's always a dominant force. So you want to take advantage of the back-to-back situation. The Ducks are a deep team, and you look at their lines and you look at the way they can beat you, and I think the most impressive part about the Ducks roster, when you look at it, is that they can beat you so many different ways. They're big, mm-hmm. They're tough, they can skate. They have a nice balance left-right shooting on the back end. They got a nice balance up front in terms of grit and scoring ability. They have, their net mining situation. It'll be interesting to see how that works itself out by the end of the year, yeah. If things will change or not. But Bruce Boudreau, that laid-back coach, and they're a fun team to watch, and they kind of play the game a little bit old school. So they're tough to predict at times, but you know that they're going to bring it in terms of their skill level.
Well, anytime you got two centers down the middle in Ryan Getzlaff, yeah. and then Ryan Kesler, the two Ryans, yeah. You know that they're in for a tough matchup. Those two players were very impactful last week for the Ducks here in Winnipeg. Corey Perry still out of the lineup with that knee injury that he suffered about 8 days ago, I suppose.
And the thing about those guys, if you look at it from the big picture perspective from Anaheim, those guys only their game is so well suited to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you have to love what they're doing now and then save them up and make sure you let them free in the playoffs. So I like what Bob Murray's done. Bob Murray kind of rebuilt that team on the fly, and you're starting to see the benefits there, especially the young defensemen we've talked about. You know, Hampus Lindholm, impressive young defenseman. Sami Vatanen, impressive young defenseman. Guys like Cam Fowler. I mean, we talked about that being their really trio with Dan Wood last week. That being their trio moving forward of young core defensemen who can move the puck and do a lot of things. So it's done a really nice job there.
Some changes to the Ducks since last week. Josh Manson, who took, yeah, I think, two or three penalties last Sunday against the Jets, sent back down to the AHL, so he's not going to be in their lineup. By the sounds of it, Colby Roback from, I believe it was Dauphin, is going to check back into the lineup for the Ducks, so they will have that local flavor as Colby Roback gets to play against his, I guess, the hometown team, sort of, for the second time in six nights.
Yeah, the reason why Josh Manson was sent down is because Ben Lovejoy's back in the lineup. He played last night. He's usually paired up with Cam Fowler. He was paired up with Cam Fowler yesterday versus Edmonton. You know, a few points. Richie mentions Getzlaff. How can you not talk about Getzlaff? For me, if I had a vote, I'm voting for him for MVP in the NHL right now. And I know Richie's always been a big fan of Getzlaff, as have I. But you watch him, and he's so dominant. He plays on the penalty kill. He plays on the power play. He to me, he's the most dominant player in the NHL. And that's not a slight to guys like Sidney Crosby or Steven Stamkos, who are arguably better offensively. I think we'd all agree they are better offensively, but I think, as Richie mentioned, his ability, he kind of leads by example the way they want to play. And, you know, a couple of interesting stats. Again, we don't know if Freddie Anderson's going to play tonight. If he does play...
It sounds like it is Anderson, as La Barbera did take the Ducks aren't skating, but it does sound like usually they're scratches. The guys who are typically their scratches, they skated this morning at MTS Center. La Barbera was on the ice for them, so I think it's safe to assume that it is going to be Frederick Anderson in net for the Ducks tonight.
Right, not confirmed, but there is a good chance, which would be his 18th straight start, which is remarkable. And, you know, you mentioned Corey Perry not being in the lineup. The Ducks are actually undefeated without Corey Perry in the lineups. That just shows you, eight games without Perry, just shows you that, you know, without a guy like Corey Perry, former MVP, 50-goal scorer, they don't really miss a beat. So this is an excellent team. You guys know I picked them to win the Stanley Cup, and we're still a long time away. But, you know, the Jets, though, again, we're not painting this. It's not all doom and gloom.
No.
The Jets played very well against the Ducks.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're a Kyle Palmieri goal away from winning that game.
When you talk about Anaheim, I think you mentioned Palmieri. That's a nice transition because their complementary players, Palmieri, Wobolewski has been great this year, Smith, Pelle, Bork, all these guys can score. So it's not as if you're throwing a guy up to a line playing with Getzlaff, for example, without Perry and thinking, okay, you know, hopefully he just doesn't do anything wrong. They can actually score on you. They have a skill level that most teams depth-wise do not have. So that's something that you have to watch for. With an injury like to Perry, they're able to fill in that spot, and certainly it's a lot easier when you don't lose a center and you lose a winger instead. In terms of the Jets, I mean, the Jets match up pretty well physically and skating-wise with this team. That's why they're able to compete on a nightly basis right now.
You know, you're going to put two big guys on the back end, Trouba and Byfuglien, up against Getzlaff and Kessler. And size-wise, you're not giving up anything there.
Nope.
So...
And Evander Kane, like I said, checks back into the lineup. There was a lot of talk about how was Paul Maurice going to handle the re-addition of Evander Kane into the lineup. He's so far, at least based on pregame skate, has decided not to change up the Matthew Perreault, Mark Scheifele, Michael Frolik line that had such success. Evander Kane right now is scheduled to play with Adam Lowry and Matt Halaschuk, at least to start the game.
That's fine. That's a totally reasonable place to put him. I don't think you need to break up the other lines right now, and Kane hasn't done anything this year. So you're not going to feed the team around him to try and get offense. You're going to let him play in that role and see what he can create with the guy, you know, in Lowry, who plays a big, tough game, and he certainly has been dangerous at times lately, and Halaschuk keeps his game pretty simple. I mean, see what happens there. But Kane's hard to play with, so you're not going to break up the top two lines right now.
Yeah, Richie, in the last two games have arguably been Adam Lowry's best two games of the year. Scored two goals versus Dallas, and he was good on Scheifele's line last game. So, I mean, you're in a situation where you're not going to screw up what's currently working well. We know Paul Maurice isn't going to do that. And, you know, I look at it as a situation where it might cause problems a little bit later down the road. And what I mean by that is you have Matthew Perreault playing left wing. and that's not his natural position. And then you have Adam Lowry, whose center is his natural position, and he's been playing wing a lot. So I think it might cause problems if there are problems getting goals from one of those two lines. But for the time being, I don't think they're going to switch it up. But I wouldn't be surprised if I would think, and you know, this is not coming from Paul Maurice, but I would think that he likes Matthew Perreault there as the third line center, and he likes the ability to put Adam Lowry on the wing on that line. But I think for now he's going to keep going with what's working.
It depends on how he wants to create, is he right? Like, I think, like, if you're going to put Perreault with guys that you want to be able to get them scoring,
yep,
so he can create plays. He's a bit of a playmaker there. And with the other guys, I mean, well, Shifley's a playmaker. You want to kind of get a shot off and a good wrist shot, and you want to see him make plays. Whereas with play, if you put him alongside Kane and such, maybe they're worried about him being a little bit isolated by, you know, Kane shooting a lot and Shifley not getting the puck and kind of playing his game. So it'll be interesting to navigate that situation. But if I'm the Jets tonight, I would want to make sure that I don't engage Getzlaff and Kessler too much. And by that, I mean get them extra motivated. You want to keep them... You want to keep them sleepy, and you want to defend them and play hard against them, but you don't want to wake them up to a point where they, because Getzlaff's one of those guys where he gets a chip on his shoulder for a period and just takes over.
Yeah.
And if you kind of lay off and play last night, and you know this is still a game in the middle of December, not that they all don't count, but kind of say they got their 2 points yesterday, see if you can kind of take a step back. Now that's going to be a little more difficult with the Stoner and Kane dynamic. And that might wake him up a bit more.
You think there's going to be emotion that'll carry over from the incident 6 days ago?
Yeah, I do. That's the kind of team Anaheim is. You look at their squad, and that's the way they're built. Big, strong, tough, stick up for each other. I would see something happening there.
I don't think Evander Kane's going to back down at all. And
no.
You know, speaking of sleepy, apparently, you know, our good buddy Soch, he likes to do this, but apparently the Ducks got in from Edmonton at 2:30 in the morning.
Well, no surprise.
So they might be a little bit sleepy. Hopefully they're getting their nap right now.
What might happen with, you know, you mentioned, though, that there might be some ramifications from Kane's hit on Stoner. You know, Evander Kane doesn't back down from anyone in the NHL for good or for bad. Yeah. So what I wouldn't be shocked to see is maybe see one of Anaheim's fourth line guys try and engage Evander Kane and, you know, fighting majors, whatever, get Kane off the ice for 5 minutes. Well, I know he's playing on that third line with Lowry and Halaschuk, but if you lose Patrick Kane for 5 minutes versus... If you lose Evander Kane for 5 minutes versus losing, you know, Nate Thompson or Patrick Maroon for 5 minutes, it's certainly a lot more significant to the Jets.
I think so. I think that's overstated also, Drew, in the sense that you're missing, what, one shift or rotation, a shift and a half. Like, you know, at the end of the day... Maybe later in the game, that has more. I think later in the game, that point's well taken in terms of what the score is, what the situation is. You're down 2-1, and you need a guy to score in the last five, you know, the last 10 minutes of the game, and then he engages a fourth line guy. Sure, that's not a great trade-off. In the middle of the first period, he misses a shift and a half. I don't really have a huge issue with it. Again, whoever it is, just answering for it. What I like to see is how the team sticks up for him if something happens.
And he might have a target on his back, and you might see some of the fourth line guys going after Kane. But the reality is, it's probably Stoner in hockey. Usually, you want to, you know, handle the business yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's something to look forward to. But I mean, we know Kane likes to rough it up, so he's not going to back down. He's not scared of anybody.
And it's not going to be a boring game. I mean, the Jets have become a physical squad. I think Paul Maurice has tried to instill in this team to be more physical because they've always been bigger. And they can skate. So if you can add that dimension to your team, and they certainly have, as far as I'm concerned, then you're going to have a physical game tonight. You're going to have a national game. I think it's going to be physical. It's going to be fast game as well. And I expect an exciting game. I don't expect this to be one of those 2-1 boring games, which we see a lot of, that nothing really eventful happens.
Well, if it's anything like last Sunday's game, which, you and I were both, you know, we're talking about it on Sunday afternoon. You know, oftentimes those Sunday afternoon games tend to be a little bit sleepy, like we said. That game last Sunday had a ton of emotion, was back and forth, was a really entertaining game that we saw last Sunday. And, I mean, the fans would hope that they'd see something similar tonight.
Yeah, I think the Jets got up for that game, playing the best team. Anaheim has the most points in the NHL right now. It's the best team in the league, and I think they got up for that. I think they wanted to show that they could beat the Anaheim Ducks. And, you know, tonight's game, I think, you know, Richie mentions it is on Hockey Night in Canada, and it's a national audience, obviously. And I think they're going to get up for that as well. I mean, we haven't seen too many lackluster efforts from the Jets. Again, that goes back. The Jets have scored the first goal 9 out of 10 games, and we know... most of those games they've gotten points. So
it also wouldn't surprise me if the Jets were a little more ornery after blowing that lead to Colorado on Thursday night. I think that probably, you know, Paul Maurice sort of spoke about that. He's like, you know, obviously we got the point and we wanted two, but you know, there's a lot of disappointed faces in the Jets dressing room after that game on Thursday night. Perhaps they can use that that motivation as fuel to get back up for a game against the best team in the Western League, in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and Drew, and I think there's also that playoff ramifications aspect to this as well. Honestly, with the way that this league is, with everybody getting a point when they sneeze, you need to be playing. You're already competing with San Jose, Minnesota, Calgary, Vancouver for these spots. So, you know, I don't think you ever want to give a game away. And you'll see less and less of the teams that are battling. Like an Anaheim team can afford to take a, you know, quasi night off. The Jets and other teams can't.
Right. Let's head to break. When we come back, Claude Noel was on TSN Radio in Vancouver yesterday. He spoke about what it was like to coach Evander Kane. We'll bring you that audio and we'll talk about it next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
We're back on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, online tsn1290.ca. We're live at Boston Pizza City Place as part of Mr. Lube Game Day here on this fine station.
Where is everybody?
They'll be here.
People,
they're here.
Boston Pizza's open. Come on down. Let's go.
Exactly. Is this right. Billy Talent?
I think it is. former Winnipeg Jets head coach Claude Noel was on our sister station in Vancouver, TSN 1040, the BMAC and Taylor show yesterday. And as part of the interview, the two fine gentlemen asked Claude Noel what it was like to coach former Vancouver Giants player and former Winnipeg Jet player Evander Kane. Current Jet player, former Vancouver Giants player. Getting ahead of myself, maybe. Anyways, here is Claude Noel on what it was like to coach Evander Kane.
Evander was a little bit of a challenge. He's a young guy. When we got him, he was on the Twitter world a little bit. So that was a little bit of a challenge. I really didn't have a lot of problems with Evander. I mean, Evander can be a real good player. And Winnipeg's a fairly small, small, passionate town, smaller city. There, you know, people, they
under a microscope.
You're under a microscope, especially when we first got there, you know. So if you went sideways on a few things, it was all over the place. So it was pretty overwhelming for a lot of players. And coming from Atlanta, it really opened your eyes, you know. So, but he's a guy that can be a real impact player. I mean, he's a guy that, and I know they're being critical of him, critical of some of the things he does. And, you know, I'm hoping that that's a maturity thing that eventually he gets a little bit better at. But I didn't really have we had a few issues, there's no doubt, but nothing really major for me. I think that's just part of coaching in the National League. Sometimes you get those players, and if it's not that, it's something else. There's always issues on your team, you know, and so you just got to learn how to manage them. But he can be a dynamic player, there's no doubt. He plays with a lot of power, can shoot the puck. He's had some real good years when I was there, and he'll have them again.
Claude Noel on Evander Kane, courtesy of our sister station, TSN 1040. I thought Claude was pretty diplomatic there. I mean, I thought he was pretty honest at the same time, though. You know, what are your thoughts listening to Claude Noel talk about Evander Kane in that interview?
Nothing really overly surprising there, Drew. I think that's, you know, kind of by the book of what I expected him to say before hearing that audio. Maybe the one thing you can interpret is if a few things go sideways. He didn't say that things didn't go sideways and they were reported as such. He said that things went sideways, whatever those things were, and they were spoken about.
Sure.
So if you want to interpret it that way, there's a few things in there that you could look at. But overall, I mean, what he said is what we really knew, that they had a few issues, that he can skate and shoot the puck, and that there's a lot of pressure playing Winnipeg. So nothing, you know, nothing overly surprising.
Right, and you could say that he was being diplomatic, Drew, but I think in this situation, Claude Noel is really holding back a little bit, and I think he's giving an answer that, as Richie said, you'd probably expect. But, guys, we know that Claude Noel, when he was here, didn't have the easiest time with Evander Kane. You look back to last year when Evander Kane was injured.
The healthy scratch versus non-healthy scratch debate.
And he was a healthy scratch. Well, he wasn't really a healthy scratch, but he was scratched, and he wanted to come back into the lineup. And then he called out Claude Noel's decision in the media. So they did not. They had a bit of a tough relationship here. And you know, it's always nice to hear Claude Noel. First of all, it's great that he got another coaching job with the Vancouver Giants there. A team that's been struggling.
I think he'll be successful at that job, by the way, also.
Well, he's a good coach.
I don't know.
I mean, it's tough
to say.
Are they
any good? I don't know anything about
Vancouver. But that's a hire for long term. I think he'd be a good junior coach. He strikes me as having the right temperament to be a good junior coach. Keep going.
Okay.
I feel like junior coaches can just go crazy and yell and scream, and he doesn't do that.
No, but I think he's got the personality where he can put the focus on him.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
You know, as opposed to the players when they're struggling.
Well, one thing's certain. I mean, he has a good track record. He was coach of the year in the AHL. He's been a coach for a long time. He's obviously had trouble in Winnipeg, and it was unfortunate that he wasn't able to continue on with the Jets here. But, I mean, back to, you know, Evander Kane and Claude Noel. Evander Kane, I think, is again, and I said this at the beginning of the year, I really do believe for him personally, and maybe with his future with the Winnipeg Jets here, because he's under contract for several more years after this year, it's kind of a crossroads season, and he hasn't got the numbers that he wanted. And unfortunately, being good in your own zone isn't really going to cut it for Evander Kane. I mean, if this team is, for me at least, and so far the Jets have got the job done mainly on the backs of the Ladd Little Wheeler line and getting contributions from others, but as we know, Mark Scheifele's...
Where have we heard that before?
I think Richie Evander Kane's got to he's got to be scoring for this team. If this team's going to make the playoffs as the season goes along.
Are we talking about Evander Kane again, Ezzy? Honestly. Like, is this the same conversation we've been having for a few years now. What's new?
Nothing.
Nothing's new. Why are we having it?
Because you keep waiting for him to break out. You keep waiting for him to regain that 30-goal potential or the 30-goal reality that we saw. He's got, you know, three legitimate goals this year. One was an empty, and the fourth was an empty net.
But my question then is,
why should we expect more?
Well, no. I mean, you can expect more because he's done it before. But why are we discussing this guy still? I mean, at some point you're going to be what you're going to be with some fluctuation. If he's got four goals in 20 games, so he's on pace for what, about 16. So is he a 20 to 30 goal guy, and right now he's, you know, some of the shots aren't going in? I don't know. How much more can we talk about a 20 to 30 goal guy who's got very limited passing skills and plays a hard game? I mean, he can draw attention to himself all he wants. I just don't think his game merits that much attention. We should be talking about Matthew Perlmutter. And that's just what I mean. We don't need to. But the point is that Kane is talked about disproportionately to how much he contributes to the team.
Well, I think that's because he signed the long-term contract. He's a fourth overall pick. He's wearing number 9. I mean, I think that there's...
That's true.
There's a lot of reasons why. And, yeah, I mean, we see it...
He draws attention to himself.
We see it all the time with, you know, the push-ups picture and all of that. It's fun. Evander Kane has become maybe not the most popular Winnipeg Jet, but...
I would agree with that. He's not the most popular Winnipeg Jet.
The most talked about Winnipeg Jet by far.
That's what I'm saying. So why? I mean, this guy is going to get 20 to 25 goals. He's going to get you, what, 20 to 25 assists?
Well, the way he's going, Richie, he'll be lucky to hit 20.
Yeah.
I mean, if he gets 25, I think that's a huge difference. That's what I'm saying. I mean, if this team, I think, wants to be in the playoffs come April, because it's December now, and they're in a playoff spot,
yeah,
and they've been playing really well, getting points in 8 straight games, for me, Evander Kane's got to be a huge part of the primary offense. Not secondary. I mean, after the Ladd Little Wheeler
line... He's not going to play in the first line. He's not going to play in the first power play unit, so how much is he going to be a part of the primary offense?
Well, that's what they want him to be, though.
But I don't think he is.
Signing him was a mistake then.
Well, I don't think signing him is a mistake because you're still going to be able to trade him. Now, if you wait any longer, you might not get as much for him as you anticipated. But signing him at least secures a guy who's going to be producing at the levels we're speaking about for 4 to 5 to 6 years at not the most crazy contract ever. Like, I don't have an issue with the signing. I just think that, again, I think the expectations need to be brought down here. He might talk like he's going to score 50 goals. Wake me up when you score 35. That's all I have to say. I mean, I just think the guy talks and everybody gives him attention for no particular reason. If he talks, we need to suddenly react to it. Whereas the guys who don't talk at all, Toby Enstrom, was the last time he talked. You know, we talk about him a bit, but he's a more impactful role in this team.
I think that's a societal issue. I think that the guy who puts the spotlight on himself is going to be talked about more often.
And we're playing right into it.
Well, of course we are. I mean, we're only playing right into it in this instance because Claude Noel...
We're just a bunch of sheep.
Yeah, well, no. The Claude Noel quote. No, I appreciate that, the Claude Noel quote. But at the same time, I mean, Claude Noel will tell you something behind the scenes different than what he'll tell you on TSN radio in Vancouver. He knows that the radio can get also played here.
Yes, I know he knows that. And I that's why
the
I thought...
The internet is a magical thing.
It's a hell of a thing.
That's why I thought he was a little bit diplomatic.
He was.
I thought that he... You're right. Inject him with some truth serum, and I wonder what his quote really is, as opposed to what...
I was going
to
say, I really like when Evander threw me under the bus in Chicago that game. I really appreciate that. That's what he's going to say. And again, the only thing I take from that is a few things go sideways, and they're blown out of... You know, maybe not blown out of proportion, but they're under the microscope. What are the sideways things?
Well,
that's all I'd like to know.
It was, yes, to that point, I thought it was telling the first thing he said was talking about Evander being on Twitter and how that sort of led to things going sideways, whether or not, you know, whoever you want to blame, and you can blame whoever you want for that, the fans or Evander himself or whatever else.
Let's move on to next segment because that's going to be a player who's worth talking about at length.
Okay, and that's what we're going to do for the next two segments. We're going to talk about Jacob Trouba. We're going to talk about where his defensive play ranks him among the best defensemen in the NHL. We're going to go team by team looking at Jacob Trouba versus what they currently have on the back end. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at Boston Pizza City Place on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
This segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, an essential part of your protective equipment is a proper fitting, custom-made mouth guard. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial teeth and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center at 204-487-2226 or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290, online at tsn1290.ca. Want to spend the next two segments talking about Jacob Trouba of the Winnipeg Jets, obviously the anchor on the Jets defense. Jeff O'Neill of TSN in Toronto was speaking about Jacob Trouba. Here's what Jeff O'Neill had to say about Trouba.
I watched him play last night in Colorado. It's impressive. And I kind of flow through the whole league on every night. I'll start with an Eastern game and then go to a kind of a Central game and then head out west later in the night. Couple people that I've noticed are that is Trouba. I think this guy is really going to be a star. He's got that reckless approach to the game, and he's fast and he's skilled and he's fearless. I really think that maybe a year from now, you're going to be talking about him as a guy that's one of the better defensemen in the league. He's just, he's that talented.
Jeff O'Neill with some heady praise of Jacob Trouba there. Thought we'd go around the league talking about really the defensemen, ranking the defensemen, and where Jacob Trouba ranks of the elite of the NHL defensemen.
Well, I said last week's show that he's top 20, so let's break it down here.
Let's break it down and see if you're right. And we're talking about him in present day situation. We're not talking about what he's going to develop into. We're talking about Jacob Trouba. Is he a top 20 NHL defenseman today, December 13th, 2014? Let's start alphabetically. We'll start with the Jets' opponent tonight, the Anaheim Ducks. Mm-hmm. Their back end is, you know, Ben Lovejoy, Cam Fowler.
We'll have to go with the whole defense group. Okay. I mean, I think he's better than all the guys on that defense. And I have a lot of respect for Lindholm, drafted in the same year as Trouba. I like Cam Fowler's game. I like a lot of the guys on the team, but I still think Trouba would be taken over all of those guys.
Yeah, Cam Fowler would be close. Cam Fowler is a very good defenseman, Richie, and I think, you know, we also have to factor in here, we're taking Jacob Trouba where he's at now, not where he's going to be in 2 years.
We're talking today,
so I would say that he's for sure better than most Ducks defensemen. Cam Fowler, to me, would be very close.
Next team, Arizona Coyotes. Really, your only question is Keith Yandel or Oliver Ekman-Larsson?
Keith Yandel, no. He's not good enough defensively. Ekman-Larsson is a very interesting comparable. I mean, he's great both ways. It's a tough situation playing in Arizona with a complete lack of talent surrounding him. I'm going to say Ekman-Larsson is on equal playing fields to Trouba.
Equal?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he?
Yeah, Keith Yandel's not good enough defensively. He has the offensive numbers, but I'm going to say Ekman-Larsson above Trouba.
You're going to say Ekman Larson above Trouba. Okay, let's move on to the Boston Bruins, where the question is, you know, Zdeno Chara and Dougie Hamilton.
Dougie Hamilton's gotten a lot better this year than he was years past. He does not defend as well as Jacob Trouba, though. Is he a little more dynamic offensively? I think so, but as a total package, I would take Trouba over Dougie Hamilton. Chara still in, you know, he's slowed down a bit. He's not what he once was, but if you're talking about today, a series, who are you taking? Right. You're still taking Chara over Trouba based on the experience and the ability to affect the game in all zones.
Yeah, Chara is a better defenseman than Trouba at this point in his career, and I would take Trouba over Dougie Hamilton. Yeah. Dougie Hamilton, though, is an excellent defenseman, taking the same year as Scheifele, of course, and great skater, and he's now moved into the top four, especially with Johnny Boychuk there. But I think another guy you got to throw in there is Seidenberg, but I think I'd still take him over Seidenberg.
Anything on Seidenberg?
No, I mean, Seidenberg's a good top four guy, good skater, tough. He's really come into his own over the years after those Philly and Carolina experiences, but he's not in the same class, I don't think, as the guys we're talking about.
The Buffalo defenseman, I mean, the guys who have names that you know of.
No, nobody is better than him on that. Nobody on that defense is better. I mean, Tyler Myers certainly has the ability to be a better player than he is right now, but he's not that right now. And certainly it would help him to play with guys who can actually keep the puck in the offensive zone for more than 30 seconds, but at the same time, He's not as mobile as Trouba, and his game is not as dynamic enough offensively to be taken over Trouba.
Same thing as he's nodding in agreement there. Calgary, you're talking Mark Giordano.
Well, you're talking not Mark Giordano right now.
He's Norris candidate right now.
And so no, Giordano right now is better than Trouba. Giordano right now has become a dominant defenseman. I'm taking Trouba over Brody, but I'm really impressed with TJ Brody's game.
Yeah, no difference there for me. Mark Giordano, I think he might be the Norris favorite right now.
I think he might be right.
He's that good, and Brody. I'm taking Trouba over Brody because of the defensive side of the game more so. Mm-hmm. But Brody's a very good two-way defenseman as well.
Carolina Hurricanes. I don't think there's anybody there. I think we can pretty much skip over
Justin Falk's
a good defenseman.
He cannot defend like Trouba can though.
No,
and he's a smart defenseman.
Fellow American defenseman. Yeah, he got a big contract from the Hurricanes last year, but Trouba, I'm taking Trouba again. And I think, you know, we got to keep in mind, too, that I think we've only scratched the surface of what Jacob Trouba can do. We've seen it in spurts, but...
I don't know about that, Izzy, only because, like, he's so good right now. I don't know how much better this guy can get.
He's 20 years old.
I know, but I'm just saying I'm so good right now. I don't know how much better this guy can get.
I think he can get a lot better.
Well, I think there's a natural progression that'll come.
Well, I agree with that.
That he'll get better just as he gets a little bit older.
Right.
But I don't know that his talent level is going, like, he's not going to skate faster or skate better.
No, I think it's offensively his game and the opportunities he'll be presented with, will he be able to take advantage of. And it's getting over the blue line and making decisions. Those are some things I could see improving.
Next team, Chicago Blackhawks, Keith and Seabrook. How would you evaluate Jacob Trouba against those guys?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, Duncan Keith, you put ahead of him. It's Duncan Keith. He can change the game transition-wise. He's one of the best skaters in the league. He can quarterback the power play. Seabrook, I'd put ahead of him, too, just based on experience, based on his ability to play in all three situations, which I think Trouba can do. But Seabrook's slightly ahead of him, but... It's closer than you think, in my opinion.
You can even throw
closer between Seabrook and Trouba, but Keith's, he's still got a little bit of way to go to get to Duncan Keith.
Duncan
level.
Keith can be a game changer offensively, Drew. I mean, he's the kind of guy who, you know, that Chicago plays a certain way. They throw their forwards way up ice when they're breaking out. They do a bunch of things that can only be done based on the talent level that they have. So if Duncan Keith can't make that pass to Patrick Kane skating up the middle or to a streaking player, then they can't play that way. And so he is part of that. He's the reason they can be so successful in the style that they play.
Yeah, you're talking about the best D pairing in the NHL.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I mean, I'm putting Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook ahead of Jacob Trouba, and you know, for that matter, they've got another elite defenseman there in Nicholas Jarmolson, and I think Jacob Trouba's offensive game is at this point in his career even better, but Jarmolson, again, Jarmolson's in the conversation for top 20 defenseman in the NHL.
But would you have Trouba ahead of him?
Slightly, yeah.
Okay. Colorado Avalanche, we've seen them a lot in the last week.
You know, Tyson Barry, great puck mover, not good enough defensively. Eric Johnson, he's become a really solid defenseman, and sometimes he makes bad decisions. He's certainly a useful top four guy, but Trouba's better than he is, I think.
Yeah, there's nobody on the Colorado Avalanche that's... I think it's interesting because Trouba got that goal against the Colorado Avalanche. which was an incredible goal. I mean, I said this to you guys. He willed that in. He took the shot and drove the net. He was not going to be denied there. But I think you're talking, you know, Richie, I think, you know, just, you don't want to keep going here, Drew, through the teams here, but Jacob, if you do that draft again in 2012, is there any doubt? I mean, and there were some good players in that draft. Alex Galchenyuk.
Philip Forsberg.
Philip Forsberg was in that draft. I think you could make a strong argument.
He's number one.
Jacob Trouba goes number one.
Yeah, I think he goes
and
number
one. And if he doesn't go number one, he goes number two. He definitely doesn't fall out of the top ten.
I agree with that.
Why? Because he's a franchise-changing defenseman, and I don't think any of those forwards are franchise-changing forwards.
I would agree with that.
The Dallas Stars, we've gone through, we've seen them a lot lately as well. I think
nobody close.
Pretty
well,
quick.
The only guy that's in the conversation is possibly Trevor Daly or Alex Goligoski, and unfortunately for those guys, they're good veteran defensemen. But
I like Daly more than I like Goligoski, too.
Yeah, Daly is a better defensive defenseman, a more physical guy, and Alex Goligoski is a guy that's really made his living on the power play. But no, Jacob Trouba, I think, is better than both those guys.
Apologies to the Columbus Blue Jackets. I skipped over them, so we'll go back.
Well, I mean, you know,
it's Ryan Murray.
Yeah, Ryan Murray drew it. Ryan Murray's going to be that solid stay-at-home guy, move the puck a bit.
I mean, no offense to Jack Johnson. I mean, again, another great American defenseman, but I'm taking Trouba over Johnson.
You know, Jack Johnson plays hard. He skates. He's a beautiful skater. He shoots the puck hard. You know, decision making can be an issue at times.
on and off the ice.
No, yeah, but that's, you know, Drew. I mean, that's not his fault. That's unfortunate that happened to him. I think he gets overly criticized, Johnson. I actually like Johnson. Maybe he's better suited to that, you know, three spot on a 3-4 pairing. But I think Trouba is an all around package better than him.
And better than Ryan Murray too.
I do. I think Ryan Murray's a very solid, very smart defenseman. I don't think he can impact the game with his skating and physicality like Trouba can.
The Detroit Red Wings. Nicholas Cronwall.
Well, I'll jump in here.
Danny DeKeyser, Jonathan Erickson.
I think at this point I'm putting Cronwall above Jacob Trouba. I think Nicholas Cronwall, the Detroit Red Wings are a top team in the East right now, guys. And I think Cronwall still is in a little bit of the Nicholas Lidstrom shadow. Mm-hmm. But if you watch that team play... Yeah. He looks like, obviously he's not Nicholas Lidstrom, but he learned by playing with him for all of those years. Mm-hmm. He's a dominant defenseman, especially on the defensive side of the game. Nicholas Cronwall is a mean, punishing defenseman. So I'll put Cronwall ahead of Trouba, Richie. Danny DeKeyser, good defenseman, played for Andy Murray there.
Western Michigan.
Yeah, but I'll take Trouba over all the defensemen on that team except for Cronwall.
I would agree with Desi there. I like Cronwall's physicality, his ability to play in all situations, and I think they play him in a way they don't want to have him injured. They want to make sure that he lasts that whole season too. But I really have a lot of respect for Nicholas Cronwall's game.
We can talk about the Oilers' defense, or we can just play the last laugh track for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's nobody there, right? I mean, Justin Schultz is certainly regressing. In any event, he can't defend even at his peak. Obviously, he's a young defenseman, but even at his peak thus far, has not defended in any way close to Trouba. Now he can affect the game more offensively than Trouba can, but certainly the strength of the offensive game does not outweigh the defensive liability.
You know, just going back to, you know, Ryan Murray here, I mean, he missed the entire lockout year, and he's only played 4 games this year for the Blue Jackets. Just to mention, I think when you look at this 2012 draft, once you see Ryan Murray play a little bit more, I think he's going to be, him and Trouba, you're going to see that those are the two best players, best defensemen. And remember, guys, that draft was very defense heavy.
Murray's upside isn't the same, though. That's the difference. I agree with you that the more he plays, the more you're going to... I totally agree with that. I think just his upside is not the same as a guy like Trouba.
The Florida Panthers. They drafted Aaron Ekblad first overall.
It's a tough one.
They drafted Eric Gudbrandsson.
Yeah, Gudbrandsson, no.
I know it's not Gudbrandsson.
It's Ekblad.
I know it's Ekblad.
And, I mean, you guys, not a lot of people have had an opportunity to see this guy play. But he's the real deal. And he can affect the game physically. And he's affected the game a little more offensively than maybe some expected. Physically mature guy, kind of like Gabriel Landeskog coming out of junior that way.
18 points already for Ekblad on the year.
I mean, I think if you're asking teams who they're picking there, that's a tough choice. I'm going to put him even like I did Ekman-Larsson.
Yeah, it's tough to pick one over the other.
Look at the way he's affecting the game as a rookie, is he?
Yes.
I mean, Trouba's in his third year, and he's done an amazing job.
He's absolutely someone who you're talking as the rookie of the year right now in there with Philip Forsberg. But I think when you're talking about Aaron Ekblad, in his first year versus Jacob Trouba in his second year, very difficult because of the way Ekblad's come in and played.
And also, Trouba's 3 years out of the draft now. Ekblad's 1 year out of the draft because he played a year in college after the draft.
Right, Trouba 2012, Ekblad, of course, 2014.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one. I see Aaron Ekblad, I see a lot of a guy like a better defensive Jay Bomeister in Aaron Ekblad. I know there's been a lot of comparisons.
See, I see a more offensively adept Seabrook in him. That's what I see.
So I'm gonna say Trouba and Ekblad tie.
So you're going with equal like Richie did?
Yeah.
Okay, that's half the league right now.
It's amazing how valuable good defensemen are in the league, because we just went through the top half. Now there's gonna that just happens to be some weak teams defensively.
Yeah.
But wow. Well, there's a lack of good quality defensemen in the National Hockey League right now.
We're halfway through the league so far. Jacob Trouba is in the top 10.
Imagine if they expand. Well, God.
We've discussed that before on the air. Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll do the second half of the teams in the NHL, looking at where Jacob Trouba ranks among the NHL's best defensemen. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Under 5 minutes to go, just under in this third period. Anaheim leading it 3-2. Played along the boards for Lowry. Cross ice pass for Trouba on the fly across the line. Shoot! Stop! Rebound! They score!
Jacob Trouba scoring last Sunday afternoon against the Anaheim Ducks. Jets fans hope he can do it again today against the Ducks tonight, 6 p.m. puck drop on TSN 1290. We're going around the NHL comparing Jacob Trouba to the other defensemen in the league to see where he ranks. Richie said last week he's a top 20 defenseman. We're going to go team by team, seeing if he is. We left off at the Los Angeles Kings. Drew Doughty ahead of Jacob Trouba?
Yeah. We don't need to expand on that too much, Drew. I mean, Drew Doughty is... You could say he's the best defenseman in the league. He impacts the game in every situation. Power play, penalty kill. He plays so many minutes on a team that plays a heavy style of game, and he's probably the most talented offensive defenseman in the league. And he doesn't give it back in his own zone, which is rare. So I think he's in the top three, period, and he's certainly better than Trouba.
Moving to the Minnesota Wild, they have Ryan Suter, and then they have a bunch of other very nice defensemen. Suter better than Trouba?
He is.
And then any of the other guys?
Brodin is in the conversation, Drew, with him. I think he's Trouba has a bigger effect on the game physically, but Brodin's close. I really like Jonas Brodin's game, and certainly he has the benefits of playing with some really good defensemen there, but I'd have Trouba slightly ahead of him.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any argument that Ryan Suter is better than Jacob Trouba. Yeah. One of the best defensemen in the NHL. He's up there, and I think he's first or second in ice time. Doughty and him are top two in the league in ice time. And Jonas Brodin is an excellent defenseman. I think he plays very well with Ryan Suter. But I still think if you're picking a defenseman, a good example would be if you're an expansion team and you're picking defenseman, I think you're going to be taking Jacob Trouba if you have the option over Jonas Brodin. So I'll take Suter as better than Trouba, but Trouba better than Brodin.
I think we're talking best three defensemen in the league. To me, it's Weber, Suter, and Doughty. Those are the three best.
Well, let's talk about P.K. Subban on the Montreal Canadiens right now.
He's better, too, because P.K. Subban is a dominant offensive player. You watch him last night. I mean, the guy, you know, in his own zone, sometimes he takes some chances, but I think that some of that's overblown as well, and he's a dynamic offensive player. Very few players can change the game like he does.
Yeah, he was excellent. The Habs whooped the LA Kings yesterday. And you're talking about, if a guy has a Norris Trophy, it's tough to pick Trouba over that guy, especially if he hasn't won a Norris Trophy himself. But I think, you're talking P.K. Subban, similar styles in the way. The thing that I like the best about Jacob Trouba, and I also like about P.K. Subban, not afraid to mix it up physically, and he has the ability with his skating to jump up into the play but then get back. So I think P.K. Subban above Jacob Trouba, but there aren't any other defensemen on the Habs. Again, Andre Markov's made a great career for himself.
Yeah.
One of the greatest offensive Russian defensemen specifically ever.
Yep.
But you're still taking Trouba on that team. He's the number two defenseman.
I mean, P.K. Subban sees the ice as well as anybody. Forward or defense?
Nashville Predators. They have Shea Weber. They have Seth Jones.
Seth Jones, I will say, is... I'll put him probably with Brodin slightly behind where Trouba is right now. But the thing about those two guys, Brodin and Jones, is that they're so young as well. It doesn't mean they can't equal or surpass where Trouba is right now. But Shea Weber is a dominant defenseman. And he is, to me, as I mentioned earlier, one of the top three. So he's ahead of Trouba.
Yeah, Shea Weber is obviously ahead of Trouba. And then Seth Jones, I think, had a good rookie year last year behind playing on that second pair on Nashville. And he's continued to do a good job this year. But I think Jacob Trouba is a little bit more physical, has a little bit more of a dominant side to his game. He can take over the game. So I think Jones has a bright future, but I'm still taking Trouba over Jones. So Weber, I agree with Richie. I mean, it's easy to pick the right at the top there, because especially this year, you throw in Giordano into the mix there. And I don't think he's quite in that elite level, but he's played like that so far for Calgary.
New Jersey Devils, is nobody there?
There isn't anybody there, Drew, that can threaten. Although I think Severson there is actually a really nice young defenseman. But no, he's not in the same class right now.
Just watching the, well, you guys know how much I watch the Devils, but watching the New Jersey Devils the other night, watching Marek Zidlicky as on the top pair of that team is scary.
Yeah.
The New York Islanders.
No, I don't think anybody on the Islanders, I mean, you respect the games of Travis Hamonic, plays a mean stay-at-home style. You respect the games, obviously, of Boychuk, who you guys know I like. Nick Leddy can move the puck through the neutral zone, especially. A couple other guys. But they're not, to me, in the same class in terms of affecting the game as Trouba is.
I'm going to say tie with Jacob Trouba and Travis Hamonic. I really like Travis Hamonic. I think he's a guy that you're talking about in future years is going to be a guy that could play for Canada at whether it's the World Cup or the Olympics. A very good physical defensive defenseman. The offensive side of the game, maybe the upside isn't as high as Trouba, but I'm going to pick a tie between those two guys.
New York Rangers, Mark Stahl and Ryan McDonough.
I really like Mark Stahl. So I would put him equal with Trouba, depending on the when you catch him. Sometimes he's really good, sometimes he's not great. McDonough is ahead of Trouba. McDonough is able to affect the game in every way. He's a very good first pass, can play the power play, can log significant minutes, and the team's kind of based around that defense now. You know, obviously, Stahl's contract situation will become more of a storyline later on here. Stahl doesn't skate the way that he's a good skater, doesn't skate the way Jacob Trouba does. Really solid. I'd probably lean towards Trouba, but I'm going to say equal there. McDonough, though, is ahead.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm going to have to put Mark Stahl and Ryan McDonough ahead of Jacob Trouba just because where they're at in their careers. I mean, these guys were a huge part of one of the main reasons why the Rangers were able to go as far as they did last year.
You have them both ahead of Jacob Trouba.
And Girardi, I'm going to put behind him.
Yeah. Ottawa Senators, Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, Erik Karlsson. That's actually a really tough one, Drew. I'm going to put him ahead because you could argue he is the most offensively talented defenseman in the league. But he gives it back a lot. You watch them play, the decisions he makes at times, and the lack of willingness to get into physical areas. I have issues with his game. But when you've reached the heights he has, and there's been a coaching change, there's been a little drama there, there's more pressure with the captaincy, I still think you're going with Karlsson. But time will tell on that one.
Has he?
Yeah, Erik Karlsson, I think, has regressed, and I think, again, Paul McLean, you guys know, I don't think he should have been fired, but yeah. I think Carlson's relationship with McLean had a big part to do with that. You know, it's interesting here, you know, I'm going to say Karlsson, and there's nobody else that's ahead of Trouba.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Penguins are the next team. They have Olli Maatta, they have Chris Letang.
Olli Maatta, really good, solid defenseman. I don't think his upside is the same as Trouba. And you look at Letang, offensively, dynamic player, nice goal yesterday, kind of coming through as a forward with a tip in there, coming back from injury. But Chris Letang doesn't have the same ability to shut down a team in the defensive zone. So I think he's more offensively inclined, and I think he's not the same level as a guy like Karlsson. So he's below, but not very far behind.
Yeah, Richie, I don't have anybody on the Penguins that's ahead of Trouba. I think Letang, as you mentioned, because he's a little bit smaller, has trouble sometimes in the shutdown role.
Yeah.
Excellent offensively. He might be arguably better than Trouba offensively.
Yeah, I think he is, yeah.
But again, Olli Maatta, again, coming in as an 18-year-old last year, really good defenseman, but the upside isn't as high as Trouba. And again, not just the upside. Based on the way the two have played, I think Trouba's better.
San Jose Sharks, Mark-Edward Vlasic?
I think you put Mark-Edward Vlasic ahead because he's proven himself. He's playing the Olympics. He is. They're similar. You know, Trouba's more physical than Vlasic, but Vlasic does a lot of little things. Skates extremely well for a big guy. Very smart. Is always in the right place. And offensively, maybe didn't become the player that they expected, but I think he's still more. Probably you'd say a little bit more advanced. Although probably pretty close, to be honest. I would actually lean towards equal there.
Equal.
Yeah.
Has he?
Put Vlasic ahead of Trouba. In the 2014 Sochi Olympics, you notice Mike Babcock really relied a lot on Vlasic in defensive situations. And I think at this point in his career, he's still ahead of Trouba. But I think the upside, again, we're talking about a 20-year-old defenseman yep. versus a 27-year-old defenseman. So I'll put Vlasic ahead of Trouba, and I don't think anybody else on that team is equal because, yep. I mean, you have Brent Burns, who's really a hybrid, and I think Trouba's better defensively. Again,
he is, yep.
with Trouba, again, what we're talking about here is an elite shutdown defenseman and elite offensive defenseman.
I don't know about elite offensive defenseman. I think elite shutdown with an ability to be better offensively. Do you think he can be elite as offensively?
Yep.
Really? I have questions about that. I think he can might be in the three in that 75% range of offensive production. I don't know if he can be that next step. I wouldn't be shocked if he was, but I would be slightly surprised.
I skipped over the Philadelphia Flyers before.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Chris Pronger.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't think Pronger counts, unfortunately, for the purposes of this exercise. The St. Louis Blues will be the last team before we go to break. They have Bo Meester and Pietrangelo.
Well, they have other defensemen too, but I think we're talking about as far as
that would be in the conversation.
Well, Shattenkirk probably. I think he's actually a bit overrated. I've said that, but I think I agree that they have a lot of good defensemen. Pietrangelo, I mean, it's kind of a tougher year for him. I think his inability to affect the game offensively. He can skate. He's a really good. He can shut down. Again, it's harder to tell in a St. Louis system as he when they're big, physical, and they play such a strong defensive game, but. Bo Meester kind of actually reminds me of a guy like Trouba, a little bit less physical, but I think offensively you wonder if they're similar in some respects. So I would probably put Pietrangelo ahead of him right now, and I put Bo Meester probably equal with him.
Ezzy, quickly?
Yeah, Pietrangelo and Bo Meester for me both ahead of Trouba at this point in their careers. They're one of the best pairings in the NHL, but yeah. Again, we're talking about guys that are a lot older than Jacob Trouba right now. So
the other thing, Ezzy, is like the guys, like those two guys playing with each other, you can't hold it against them necessarily. But Trouba's been doing this and playing this well with Mark Stewart, who's no Jay Bo Meester, with all due respect.
Absolutely. We'll come back to this after Saturday Spotlight. Let's head to break when we come back. Saturday Spotlight with John Paddock. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go here on this Saturday afternoon. We're going to continue on with the ranking of Jacob Trouba, and we'll air Saturday Spotlight with current Regina Pats head coach, John Paddock, and former Jets 1.0 head coach and general manager coming up in about 10 minutes time. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com. To recap where we are, we're going team by team in the NHL, looking at their defensemen and the Jets' Jacob Trouba and deciding who would you rather have. Richie last week said that Jacob Trouba was a top 20 NHL defenseman, so we're really breaking that down to see if that comment actually does hold weight. So far, the defenseman that we have is being better than Jacob Trouba.
Well, Ezzy and I have a different list, though.
We have different lists, but more or less, the ones who are clear-cut better than Jacob Trouba are Zdeno Chara, Mark Giordano, Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Nicholas Cronwall, Drew Doughty, Ryan Suter, P.K. Subban, Shea Weber, and Ryan McDonough and Eric Carlson, Alex Pietrangelo. Those are the ones who are clear-cut better defensemen in our mind than Jacob Trouba. It's certainly close in a lot of those equations, though. Let's move on to the Tampa Bay Lightning, where I believe probably the guy that most comes to mind as being better than Jacob Trouba, potentially, is Victor Hedman.
Yeah, and I have Hedman ahead of him because he's really taken on an offensive role. Big guy, can skate. Really smart with the puck. I just like what Hedman has become, and I think he's more advanced. If we're talking about now, he's more advanced in the curve, and I would take him ahead.
We are talking, just for the record, we are talking about right now. We're not talking about future date. We're talking present time, December 13th, 2014. Who would you rather have? Richie said he'd rather have Victor Hedman than Jacob Trouba. What do you think, Ezzy?
Yeah, you have to put Hedman ahead of Trouba right now. As Richie mentioned, he was 55-plus points last year, and it took him a little while to live up to the second overall pick billing, but at this point in his career, he's better than Trouba.
Yeah.
Moving to the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're the next team on our list.
There's nobody in Toronto. There's nobody in Toronto for me who's on the same level right now.
Ezzy?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I think, you know, I guess in the conversation would possibly be Dion Phaneuf and Jake Gardner, but Jake Gardner has really struggled on the defensive side of the game, still having decision-making issues. And I think Dion Phaneuf, even though he's very dominant physically, I think he's better suited on many teams as a second-pairing defenseman.
Vancouver Canucks. Alex Edler was sort of the defenseman that would best defenseman on the Canucks.
He's had a really nice year. And, you know, he had a tough time under John Tortorella trying to change his game to be what he wasn't. I think he's kind of gotten back to the form that he had before. And he's a guy who can be physical, who can move the puck, he can play on the power play. I would have him as equal right now.
Edler is equal in your mind.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to say equal to Rich. You know, you mentioned he's physical. He's downright mean at times.
Yep.
And, you know, he hasn't put up the same numbers, whatever he had, 45, 50 points a few years back when the Sedins were really flying and at the top of the NHL scoring leaders. It's come down a little bit, and as Rich mentioned, that had a little bit to do with playing under John Tortorella, but he's still a number one defenseman in the NHL. So I'm going to say tie.
Washington Capitals, anybody there that's even close?
Well, you know...
John Carlson, Carl Alsner?
John Carlson defensively is not close. He's been very good offensively. Carl Alsner can't affect the game offensively enough. Carlson's probably, you know, is in the conversation there. I think he's just a little bit below. If he can work on his defensive game, he could be an impactful defenseman.
Certainly has the offensive number, 21 points so far this season in 28 games.
Excellent puck mover, very smart. Of course, if you don't really watch a lot of Capitals games, you probably remember John Carlson from Saskatoon coming down the wing for the U.S. junior team against Canada in overtime.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Rich on that one.
You're going to agree with Rich there. Okay, so that's all the teams in the NHL. There are some where you guys split. Richie, you had Oliver Ekman-Larsson as Jacob Trouba's equal. Ezzy, you had Ekman-Larsson as better. You both, where else did you guys split? You guys also split in Mark Stahl. You had him as their equal. Ezzy, you had Mark Stahl being better than Jacob Trouba.
I think at the end of the day, Drew, what we're getting to is, I mean, I think we probably both agree that he's in that top 20.
It seems, breaking it down like we just did, the numbers certainly do bear that out. I mean, to recap, the guys you have is better than Trouba. One, Zdeno Chara. Two, Mark Giordano. Three, Duncan Keith. Four, Brent Seabrook. Five, Nicholas Cronwall. Drew Doughty, you have him as being better. He would be the sixth guy better than Trouba. Ryan Suter is number seven. P.K. Subban is eight. Mm-hmm. Shea Weber is nine. Ryan McDonough is 10. Erik Karlsson is 11. Alex Pietrangelo is 12. Victor Hedman is 13. So you're really...
Then a bunch of guys are equal, and then you're in that, seven, eight guys, and you're talking about top 20 for me.
He's a top 20 defenseman. I mean, you said it last week, and this exercise sort of bears it out. Now, if you want to look at it on the future state, how high can he get?
Well, I mean, that kind of goes back to what Ezzy and I were just discussing in terms of the offensive ability. Because I think defensively he's been very, very solid. Can he take the next step? And for me, I'm watching for making plays, neutral zone, but more so in the offensive zone. We know he can skate it through the neutral zone, which is so important in this day and age. Can he make the play in the offensive zone that can... Not just for himself, but for other players. That's what I want to watch to see if he can take the next step.
Is he?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about someone who can be a top-end defenseman in the NHL. Absolutely.
Let's quickly look around the NHL so far this afternoon. A couple afternoon games in action. In Boston, the Senators and the Boston Bruins are playing. So far, it is a 1-1 tie between the Senators and the Bruins. They're at the 16-10 mark of the second period. And those two teams play one of those typical Boston Saturday afternoon games. The Jets fans remember those from a couple years ago when they played a couple 12 noon games. And then in Philadelphia, the Flyers have a 2-1 lead ahead of the Carolina Hurricanes.
You look at the Ottawa game, and Dave Cameron loses his first game as coach of the Senators, and you always wonder after that coach is let go, you know, what's the immediate effect? And I don't think, I don't know, actually. And as he mentioned, he didn't think Paul McLean should be fired. And I agree. And you wonder, I mean, did the Ottawa Senators release Paul McLean from his duties for the immediate effect or for a long-term perspective? And I don't really know the answer to that because it seems like their expectations for their squad right now are a little bit out of tune with the talent level. So you have to wonder, if they were expecting an immediate result, then they might be disappointed if they lose today and lose two in a row after the firing.
I don't think enough is made about how quickly Brian Murray tends to go through coaches in Ottawa.
Well, we talked about it a bit, Drew, but you have to wonder how much it's Brian Murray and how much it's Eugene Melnyk.
Sure, Melnyk is a bit of an interesting owner. I think I can say that diplomatically.
Was Dave Cameron the best possible coach in the league the next up?
I mean,
is he?
No, not in my mind. Is Dave Cameron going to get that many better results out of this team than Paul MacLean was?
I don't know, but they also it's a bit of a. Let's also talk about what happened there. I mean, the players weren't biggest fans of Paul MacLean. Apparently went back to Jason Spezza and him, and then, of course, Eric Karlsson and him, and having the yelling matches, and that apparently wasn't the first time, the most recent one. So if the best players on your team don't want you there, you're not going to be there for very long.
Right. The old cliche, the inmates running the asylum at
but
some point
true,
in time.
Especially
it's
in this day and age. But what you know, and we had Dean Brown on from Ottawa talking about it. What can you do? I mean, you can't really send these guys to the minors anymore. You can't do anything like that. So they're going to be under roster. If they're not going to play as the best players for your coach, you're going to lose.
And then you lose
that was kind of Claude Noel's problem here. He didn't really have the core players. They weren't buying it. They weren't on board. And if they're not on board, you're going to be in trouble.
Let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to now air Saturday Spotlight featuring current Regina Pats head coach John Paddock. You, of course, remember him from the Winnipeg Jets 1.0 when he was coach and general manager. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.